well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have the sun shining, but it's even better to be here gathered with the people of God in the presence of the Lord. So we just welcome you, especially those that are visiting for the very first time. We're just so honored that you would take the time to be with us today in service. We welcome our first-time visitors. We know that God's got a great plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And so God has good in store for us. It doesn't mean everything in life will always feel good or look good, but I'll tell you what, God's got a plan, and he has made us overcomers through Jesus. Amen. The Bible says over there in 1 John 5:5, it says, who is he that has overcome the world but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And here we believe that. Amen. He is the Lord of all, and God is a God of the Bible, and he's got a plan for our life. And our part here at Family Church is just to point you towards his already blessed plan. You know, a lot of times we go to God and we say, God, here's what I want to do. Will you please bless it? But he tells us he has a plan, and our job is to find that because it's already blessed. Amen? And so, again, we just welcome our first-time visitors. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. And again, it's an honor to have you here. And after we dismiss today's service, if you're visiting and I haven't had a chance to meet and greet with you, I will remain up here at the front, and I invite you, please come down and introduce yourself. Folks, we're not about just having people sitting in seats. You know, it's not about how many people attend our church. It's about knowing you as family, as church family, and hooking you into God's plan for your life. That is our goal here at Family Church, to exalt the name of Jesus and to put God's word first. Amen. A couple things in the way of announcements. First of all, if you are one of our potential MTC students, we are starting 2 weeks from tomorrow. So our Ministry Training Center is a part-time Bible school that meets on Monday nights for those that have signed up, who have applied and are approved. And that is starting in 2 weeks. So just a reminder of that to get your registration forms in. And if you are an MTC student, remember that the first night, Monday, February 22nd, that will begin at 5:30 that first week, okay? 5:30 p.m. in our youth center, which is the building up by the road there. And second of all, we had another dynamic service last night in Erie. And we're excited. We had over 40 people from the Erie area return. Of course, several folks from Jamestown that were visiting. And we're excited. We just had a great service last night. And this coming Saturday, we're going to put out the invitation for anybody in this church, and of course, obviously for folks in the Erie community. We're going to be holding a special reception next Saturday night at 7 p.m., and it's going to include a worship service, and we're going to be meeting at the Hilton Garden Inn reception area right out there. It's a beautiful hotel. It is right off from I-90. When you get off the Peach Street exit, you just take a right off the exit, and it's the first main light to your left. It's right by the Erie Downs, right up there on Upper Peach Street. We will be meeting there next week, and you don't have to sign up if you want to attend. There's going to be food. There's going to be fellowship. It's going to be a great time, and we are hosting that event apart from our building out there because, praise the Lord, we got some notices in the mail that despite what they told us to begin with, that we could have a church in there, they want us to go through a process of updating some fire codes, and they told me that if we didn't comply, that they might decide to arrest me. So, in order not to be let out in handcuffs, I've never received a letter in the mail before telling me about holding a church event, how they would want to potentially arrest me. I mean, literally, that's what they said. That's not me trying to, you know. I know, praise the Lord. That's why we pray for government officials, right? And so what we're doing, we're not there to be adversarial or anything. And so instead of, you know, being discouraged, we're just going to throw a hotel church party. at the Hilton Garden Inn. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous hotel. And their ballroom, it's just so beautiful in there. Next evening at 7 p.m. So if you want to come out and enjoy, you don't need to sign up. There's no cost or anything for the food. We're just going to have a good time there. We're going to have fellowship. Our worship team's going to be there and going to sing some special music and whatnot. So if you can be there, and then we believe that in a couple of weeks we can get this process going and just go through, you know, the simple procedure of getting this figured out. And so we'll be there this Saturday at 7 p.m., and you're all invited. If you want to come out to Erie, hey, dinner and a movie in Erie, dinner, worship, and then a movie, hey, that might be a good date night next week for you married couples and whoever you want to come on out. That would be wonderful. So just consider yourself invited. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yeah, well, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to call this message this morning, The Influence of Seducing Spirits. Oh, my goodness, and you might be sitting there thinking, what does that mean? Well, we'll make sure to tell you what that means out of the Bible. You know, so many times we take for granted that there is a spiritual realm. And we take for granted that there is resistance that comes from the spiritual realm. And how many of you know that, you know, we're going to look at this here in just a moment, but how many of you have come to the realization that people are not our problem? People are not our resistance. People are not our opposition in this life. But how many of you know it sure feels like that sometimes? It sure looks like that sometimes. And, you know, maybe when you heard me say that, you might have even thought, you know, I don't know, I think people are our problem in this life. Because maybe, you know, there's people that criticize you, maybe there's people that oppose you, and there's always somebody maybe trying to annoy you or bicker with you or whatever it is. And it can really seem sometimes like those people are our problems. But the Bible tells us over in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. The devil would love for us more than anything to think that people are our opposition. You know, no doubt, maybe even right now, you have people in your life that are, you know, trying to hinder you, trying to resist you, trying to oppose you in everything, trying to bicker with you, trying to debate with you. And it just, sometimes it gets just downright unnerving. But the good news is, it's not people that are really the ultimate problem. The devil would love to hide behind somebody. He would love to inspire somebody to rise up against you so you would get into strife with that person. Because now he set the trap, he put the bait in the trap, and then you took the bait by fighting with the person when you should have forgiven the person, right? You should have been merciful to the person, right? And you should have taken authority privately, right, over the devil that is trying to hinder you and not the person that seems like it's trying to hinder you. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible makes it clear that in the last days that we're living in, that there would be seducing spirits, or we could call it this way, demonic personalities that are trying to get us off the path that God has for us. And a lot of times the devil is going to try to inspire even Christians, even people that love you and even people you love. It could be friends, it could be family, it could be coworkers, it could be anybody, you know, that all of a sudden people that you never thought would rise up against you sometimes can be motivated. We've all at times we found ourselves motivated by wrong thoughts. We try to hinder somebody, we try to fight them, we try to debate them, and we start to give heed to these seducing spirits. And we become, you know, an obstacle in somebody's life, and we try to oppose them. We don't want to do that. And it's obvious, the Bible makes it very clear, that this kind of demonic activity will be on the rise in the last days. So we'll read it for ourselves in 1 Timothy 4:1. I'm reading out of the King James Bible. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly or urgently. So this is an urgent message from the Holy Ghost. Here is what he'd want us to know about the days and the times that we live in. See, I don't think there's probably too many places these days actually preaching and teaching on seducing spirits. You know, because it just seems, you know, maybe in our modern times, we think we're too sophisticated to talk about this. And, you know, you don't talk about seducing spirits in a popular culture. But I tell you what, regardless of our culture, there is a culture of the spirit realm, okay, that is moving upon this realm. And we need to look into the Bible and learn about that realm, because it'll explain a lot of what's going on, and we will learn how to handle it. All right? It says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, let's talk about the Holy Ghost, he speaketh expressly or urgently that in the latter times, everyone say right now, we are more in the latter times than we have ever been. And so this is talking about the days that we live in. The Spirit of God has an urgent message to those that are living in this time. He says that some shall depart from the faith. And it tells us why. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All right? Wow, notice it says that some shall depart from the faith. See, that is what the devil is contending for. To get us to depart from the faith. Or you could say it this way, to depart from faith. You know, to stop living in faith, to stop feeding your faith, to stop using your faith. All right? So notice the Bible makes it very clear that these end days are filled with seducing spirits. Now, we actually talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. I'm not trying to repeat myself. It just so happens that the lessons kind of overlap there. But what a seducing spirit is a demonic personality that has been given the assignment to tempt you off the path that God has for your life. All right? It is not it's not fictitious. It's not metaphorical. There's churches that believe that references to demons in the Bible is just a metaphor for evil. No. There are real demonic personalities that are given the assignment to tempt believers off the plan of God for their life, okay? We need to know and understand that. You know, I know, again, it's not very popular to talk about it, but it's true. It's true. The Bible says that it's true. And, you know, he'll try to do that, and he'll want you to get off that plan that God has for you and, you know, all of a sudden start wandering and so on. So let's take a look at this, all right? It says, the Spirit speaks urgently that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. I think it's very interesting that the word depart, it means to withdraw, to remove, to draw away, and to forsake. I'll say it again. To withdraw or to remove yourself or to draw away or forsake. That is exactly what the devil wants us to do. To get so preoccupied with what others are saying, what others are doing, to get discouraged, well, we will literally walk away. Walk away. People will walk away from their marriages. They'll walk away from their churches. They'll walk away from prayer. They'll walk away from believing God. They'll walk away from a Christian lifestyle. And it tells us that there is a demonic personality behind it. That doesn't mean that those people are demons. It means that unseen realm tries to influence this realm. Oh, come on now. All right. Seducing spirits, they pull on a believer to neglect spiritual habits. Come on, get a hold of this. Yep. A seducing spirit is there to tempt a believer to neglect spiritual habits, to neglect commitment, and to destroy your destiny by lusting after wrong things. Basically this, a seducing spirit is there to try to give us wrong motives towards things that do not produce godly results. Come on now. You know, no doubt, you know, we can remember times in our life when we have been tempted and maybe even done things that are against what God has for us. You know, There is a realm, and these seducing spirits are trying to do our thinking for us. We don't want them to do our thinking for us. Come on now. Yep. When a believer starts to draw back and becomes less faithful, less involved, less interested, less pure, you know they are under the influence of a seducing spirit. They have yielded to that personality of that spirit, and it makes them what they become. Let me say that again. Yep. When a believer starts to draw back and become less faithful, less involved, less interested, less pure, right? You know they become under the influence of a seducing spirit. They yield to that demonic personality, all right, and that what makes them what they become. We have to know and understand this. Yep, I understand that, again, you won't hear messages like this in the seeker-sensitive movement in the churches in America today. They don't want to talk about it because it has a tendency, we don't want to freak people out. We don't want to sound weird. Well, no, we're not sounding weird. This is the Bible saying this. This is an urgent, express message from the Holy Ghost that we need to know and understand. Maybe you're sitting there and you've even remembered times where you've just been so tempted to feel disinterested in church, disinterested in serving, disinterested in giving, disinterested in praying, disinterested in reading your Bible, disinterested in being with, the people of God, and where that comes from. Again, it's not just you. You know, we're not alone on this planet, so to speak. You know, there are influences, and we need to make sure that we are under the right influences, right? All right, so let's talk about the ways that seducing spirits try to influence people. Listen, every one of us, we can recognize these things. We can identify them in our life, right? And so we can make the change. God's not trying to give us a spanking. He's not trying to, condemn us or anything. But listen, God shows us these things to help us, to prevent us from getting hurt, to prevent us from going the wrong way, right? So let's talk about this. Now, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The word seducing there is actually the word for wandering or without direction, or you could say it this way, drifting from place to place. The number one way that the seducing spirits are going to try to influence your life is to get you to wander through your Christianity. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, this can look like many different kinds of lifestyles. And no doubt we've all been in these places. So again, I've been there, you've been there, but let's get it right. Amen. You know, when we start to see people that there's nothing ever makes them content. They go from one thing to the other. They go from one relationship to the next, thinking that somebody out there sometime is going to finally fulfill them. Listen, the only fulfilling relationship or marriage that you'll ever have is the one that God directs, the one that's submitted to Jesus. Amen. And there's people that'll wander from relationship to relationship. There are people that wander from hobbies to hobbies. You know, it's like, okay, this week they're into this, and next week they're into that, and then they're into this, and they never settle down or ever become content in this life. The devil's desire is to make us so we are never content in life. Contentment is where is the root of godliness. God wants us to be content in every circumstance that we're in. And so if you look at your life and you notice that it's just like no matter what, you're never content. You know, the new house didn't make you content. You know, you always got to try to buy something to make you happy. You know, you're just never content. You have that kind of wanderlust. You know what I mean? Well, this, and then I need that, and then I got to go over here, and I got to go over there. People do that with their church hopping. You know, this area, and of course, it's not unique to this area, but it is definitely prevalent in this area. Okay, there's nothing wrong in looking for a church. You know what I mean? There's a right time in our life when we need to look and visit churches to find where God would have us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that God sets the members in the body as it pleases him. There's nothing wrong when you feel that you're, you know, you need to look for a church. But what I'm talking about is church hopping, where people just travel around the circuit, you know, going from church to church to church to church to church, you know, and they become like spiritual tumbleweeds. And they never, ever plant themselves and get rooted in the house of God, right? What is it over there? Is it Psalm 93, 13, 92, 13? They that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of the Lord, right? Those that are planted. You know, we need to find the things in life that God has called us to. We need to find the local church that God has called us to. We need to plant ourselves, let our roots grow deep, so we're not just tumbling through life. I'm preaching to somebody in here. You say, well, Pastor, what do you know about that? I do know something about that because we were like that a little bit growing up. It was just kind of like, well, let's go here for a little while, go here for a little while, go here. Listen, there's no such thing as a perfect church, and we certainly aren't one. But there's going to be a lot of tumbling, bouncing around over here, and then we're over here. Well, we're into this month, and the next month we're into this, and then we're over here, and then we're not, you know. We're tumbling around, seducing spirits. And you think to yourself, and some of you are sitting here, and I know I am, you know, I think about times in my life, and I think, ah, that explains a lot, because, you know, I'm happy about something, you know, for a little while. I've seen people do that with serving in the local church. You know, oh, I'm so excited to start serving, and then a year later, it's no longer fun anymore. Serving in the church is not about novelty, it's not about fun, it's about commitment. Amen. You know, some people are saying, I just don't know why I go to my job and I don't feel like doing cartwheels there. Well, you know, it's not about jumping up and down for joy all the time. It's about commitment and loyalty. Yeah. So many people, oh, I want to be promoted. I want to get a pay raise. I want to have more authority and more trust in my company. Well, have you been planted there? Because there's something within an employer that looks and says, you know, we desire to be planted. You know, you look for someone that they're planted, because a planted person is someone you can trust. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, we see with the devil, he doesn't have to show up on our doorstep looking like a ghoul with a pitchfork. He just has to tempt us to be discontent and drift around and float from thing to thing in life. You ever known somebody like that? Mm-hmm. Have you yourself ever done that? I'm sure we all have. You know, and now we understand. Listen, God's plan is a plan of stability. The devil's plan is instability. All right? God wants us stable. He wants us rooted, right? We're not born to be wild. We're born to be mild. Right? You know, to have, you know, so many times, you know, I know what it's like. You know, I had a very adventurous personality. You know, by the time I was in my 20s, I had been all over the place. You know, and now I see, as I serve God and as I seek Him, more and more I'm becoming someone that's just planted. You know, I grew up in this community thinking, you know what, if you grow up here and you stay here, you know that mentality that says if you stay in that town that you grew up in, you're some kind of loser or unsuccessful. Well, no, that's not true, because this is where God has me to be. And now once you get God's plan, you can be content all day long. And now when I travel, all I'm thinking about is being here. Why? Because this is where I'm planted. This is where I'm rooted. This is where stability exists. See, I've had the same pastor for 15 years because once I knew he's committed to the Word and he teaches the Word and that's where God would have me, it wasn't about bouncing around. I don't get discontent with my pastor. He's still following Jesus, and so I'm going to be loyal for life. Yeah, until Jesus comes, or until I go home at a nice old age, or, you know, I mean, of course, my pastor, I don't foresee him ever forsaking Christ, you know. Why? Because that's where stability is for me. I don't need to go around and have, And of course, I have other ministers that do, you know, sow into my life, a few of them, but I don't need to go and change my pastor every 2 years. You know, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. So we need to look at our lives and say, okay, is stability, am I rooted in stability? Am I rooted? Am I grounded? Because the devil, all he has to make us is unstable. All he needs is to make Christians flighty. Oh, praise the Lord. Where's all the jumping and the shouting now? Number one way that seducing spirits influence people to get them wandering. Yep. This personality is always very easy to be offended. You know how the devil keeps people moving them around in life? He gets them mad everywhere they go. Hallelujah, glory to God. Super Bowl heart surgery Sunday. And even though the Broncos beat my Patriots, and they cheated to win. And even though the referees totally gave them that game, we know the Patriots outplayed them. Oh, yes, they did. I'm still going to root for the Broncos tonight. Oh, come on now. Peyton Manning, his last game, come on. We got to. I know he'll probably blow it, but that's all right. No, he won't. Well, I don't know. He's playing a very tough team, but praise the Lord. You know, and I think about it, I mean, he's 2 years older than I am, and he's a professional quarterback, and I think, my goodness, that's impressive. That's impressive. I mean, yeah, he doesn't look as fresh as he used to, but, I mean, give the man a break. He's about ready to turn 40, and he's an NFL quarterback. Not bad. 40's young, but on the NFL football field, it's ancient. Praise the Lord. So, go Broncos. Boo, come on. Who's rooting for the Broncos? Let's just see it. We got, oh, who's going for Carolina? Who doesn't give a rip? Wow, we found our winning team. Oh, we should just have the anti-Super Bowl party here at the church here tonight. And we'll all watch the Puppy Bowl. The Animal Planet, that's where we have to turn the channel over because the commercials are so dirty and rotten. You got to go over to the Animal Planet and watch little kittens and puppies run around because the commercials are going to be X-rated. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyhow, seducing spirits. That demonic personality is trying to get you. I know, let's all come back to the spiritual side again. But that seducing spirit, the number one way it gets people floating around is to get them offended everywhere they go. Oh, dear heavens. Have I seen that in this town in 10 years? I grew up here, okay, by the way, so I'm not criticizing this town. I love this city. This is where I grew up. I love this community. I love this region. This is where God has us, and that is a thrill. But I've seen it, you know, this, you know, people wandering around, bouncing around the church circuit. They're in a church until they hear the pastor say something that challenges them. You know, or the music gets too loud for one song, or, you know, there's a song they don't like, or there's a nursery worker that didn't, you know, do everything, you know, up to their standards or whatever. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, in a church. There's people there. And so there's going to be interactions with people. And I might make you mad. You would never make me mad. Never, ever. I would never be tempted to be discouraged about anybody. Never. I mean, praise the Lord. But somebody else, you know, you might, you know, come up, it might be an usher. It could be anybody in the church, you know, could do something, could say something. Folks, we try our best to make sure the family church is a drama-free zone. You know what I mean? If you've got a fence, check it at the door. You know what I mean? But there's times when things just come up and people act, you know, out of character or whatever. And listen, it's all of our jobs is to put out that fire before it spreads. Someone may say something to you. Someone's going to do something. They always do somewhere. Listen, let's grow some thick skin. Let's put on the mercy of God. Let's just keep on going and let them be. I'll tell you what, the more attention you pay to that, the more the devil's going to eat your lunch. Now, don't get me wrong. Do not misunderstand. There was a time in my life where God led Katie and I out of a church to be in this one. All right? That was not what I'm talking about. When we did, we sat down with our pastor. We explained. We said, we have this tug. We have this pull. We know we're supposed to go over here. And he gave us, you know, his blessing. He was very kind. Many of you got to meet my former pastor at our, we had a pastor appreciation meal back in, November? And my former pastor came to spend that time. It wasn't out of offense. We didn't leave out of, you know, a bad relationship or anything. So I'm not talking about those scenarios. There are times when God does, you know, set people in different church bodies. But I'm talking about hopping and shopping, and everywhere you go, it's always, well, we got to leave there because we're offended with that. And then you go somewhere else, well, a couple months later, I'm offended with that. Oh, then I'm offended with that. Someone said something to me over here. I'll tell you what, that's a seducing spirit trying to get you unstable, get you hopping all over the place, get you into discontentment, to get you wandering. Yep, to get you offended. This personality always needs novelty. Do you know what novelty is? Novelty is the fun part of getting something new. Do you enjoy sometimes getting something new? Yeah, praise the Lord, you know. It could be something as a new car. It could be a new watch. It could be new clothes. It could be, you know, a new hunting rifle. It could be a new hunting bow. It could be new camouflage. Praise the Lord. It could be something, you know, I mean, whatever it is. You know, we get new things. We get excited. But have you learned that that novelty has an expiration date? And it can go sour pretty quick. You know, it lasts a week, maybe two, and all of a sudden it's just another part of your life. See? And it was exciting and it was fun because it was new, but after a little while, the newness wears off, and then commitment and loyalty has to take over. See, this is what a lot of Christians are doing with their churches. You know, we've seen this here because, you know, as this church has grown and, you know, people come in and, you know, they might see a lot of young families, little kids and stuff, and people get excited about it. And, whoo, I've had so many people. Can we just talk real for a moment? Can we talk real? Okay, if you're here and you're visiting and you enjoyed the service today, don't tell me. Because almost every time someone tells me that they enjoyed this service, I never see them ever again. And of course, I'm joking, and you know, but I can't tell you how many times people have come in, and maybe they'll come back for a few weeks, and they'll say, "Oh man, you know, we just so enjoying this. This is what we've been looking for." And I hear that, and I go, "Oh no, don't say that. Just criticize something. It'd almost be better." But they'll say, oh, you know, this and that. And then after a few weeks, the novelty wears off. And then all of a sudden, commitment and loyalty takes over. And all of a sudden, you start hearing that there's real conviction, real, you know, challenging doctrine that comes out of the Word. And all of a sudden, people don't like the church anymore because the novelty wears off. You know, a seducing spirit tries to get people to live on novelty. As long as it's new, you like it. There's people that they do that. They got to have a new relationship. You know, they start dating somebody and they date them for a few months and they cast them aside and they got to date somebody new for a while and they got to leave them. What is that? That is novelty. People do it with relationships. People do it with possessions. People do that with churches. All right? This church is not based on novelty. Loyalty, honor, commitment. We're not here for just a short-term flash in the pan. We're here to be committed. Amen? And of course, if you're in need of a local church, you're invited to grow some roots in this one. Praise the Lord. You know, and we'll teach you. The commitment that we have to you is to always preach and teach the uncompromised Word of God. Praise the Lord. So let's not be novelty people. A seducing spirit will make somebody very difficult to please. You ever seen people that they're not happy no matter what you do? And see, that's why you can't lead a church listening to those kinds of voices. We're here to please God before we are to please people. Right? Someone's always, they're never happy with the music. They're never happy with the length of the service. They're never happy with the children's ministries. They're never happy. Never, 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 never happy. Seducing spirits. Be warned, right? Be careful. These people are always the ones that they need to be accommodated. See, when we come to the local church, God's nature is to seek and to accommodate someone else. See, when the nature of God is in our lives and when we're filled with His Word, the nature of God says, how can I serve you? How can I bless you? Right? But the nature of a seducing spirit is to say, accommodate me. And I've told you the stories. Of course, one, I probably told it before. One that just sticks out. This was several years ago before this building was even built. When we were in the building out front, there was a couple, and they're part of our church, and we love them, and we still do. It's not personal or anything, but they were part of the church. They were serving in the church, and one day they walked in, and they said, we're done going to the church. I said, oh, really? Well, that's too bad to hear. You know, what's wrong? And they said, literally, this was the words out of their mouth. They said, we have not received enough cards from people in the church, and not enough people come up and say hi to us on Sunday mornings. See, that is a mentality that says, everything come to me. That is not the nature of God. The nature of God is to go seek out and bless others. Who can I bless? Who can I bless? Who can I bless? Who can I minister to? Who can I strengthen? Who can I love? But the nature of a seducing spirit is to be the drain. You know, you hear me use this illustration. You ever seen the drain in your bathtub? Have you ever had, like, maybe the soap was in the bottom of the tub and the washcloth, or maybe you have kids and their toys are floating around and you start to drain the water and everything has to move towards the drain? You know, and that's what drains do. Drain says, everything come to me. Don't be a drain. Be a faucet. Give out, pour out. See, the nature of the devil, the seducing spirit, is to get you to be, well, they didn't accommodate me. See, that spirit of the world is trying to get into the church. Churches everywhere are just trying to be, you know, they're trying to accommodate like a luxury hotel. Where's my free coffee? Which, nothing wrong. We gave free coffee last night. Praise the Lord. Foot in my mouth. Alert. Woo! No, nothing wrong with having coffee at church, but you know what I mean? They're trying to promote their church on their cafe. They're trying to promote their church on their technology. They're trying to promote their church on all these accommodations. We don't go to church to be accommodated. We go there to serve, to get the nature of God. Yes, our goal here is to always help families with kids and be accommodating as possible, but what are we going to do when it just doesn't happen the way we want? Come on now. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm helping your life here today. Yep. Praise God. All right. Here's the second thing, and it's going to be very much related. In 1 Timothy 4:1, the word seducing means to wander. Here is something, folks. I don't use this word to be controversial. I don't use it to be inappropriate. It's a true word, and actually this is the word that's in the original Greek language of the New Testament. We know that the New Testament was not originally written in English. It was written in Greek. And the word seducing spirit is literally translated tramp. Tramp. It is the Greek word for tramp. Oh, did he really say that in church? Well, I'm not saying it from a sexual standpoint, you understand. The word tramp, it just means to disregard covenant relationships. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Here's the second way that seducing spirits try to influence your life. They try to entice you away from covenant relationships that God has set in your life. Notice the term covenant relationships. Not just all relationships, covenant relationships. All right? The word covenant means a life-binding relationship. God's examples of covenant relationships are number one, between you and God the Father, through Jesus, his Son, okay? You're in covenant with God. What does it mean to be in covenant? It means everything that is mine is his, and everything that is his is mine. Isn't that awesome that God did that? We had nothing to offer. I'm in covenant with God. Everything in my life is to serve him. But he also said everything that's his eternal life is mine. His righteousness is mine. His power is mine. His healing is mine. His provision is mine. And it's yours too if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God didn't give me that because I'm a pastor. He gave me that because I'm his son. And I received an inheritance from my Father. Hallelujah. The second highest covenant relationship that's mentioned is marriage. Marriage. So a seducing spirit is going to try to taint your relationship with God the Father. Second, a seducing spirit is going to try to taint your relationship with your spouse. Because a seducing spirit tries to make people spiritual tramps. What that means is that they disregard the covenant relationship and they go and commit spiritual adultery in other relationships. Okay? All right? Obviously, it is it's spiritually adulterous to turn from God towards wicked things. You know? Praise the Lord. You know, it's spiritual adultery for me to receive the blood of Jesus, to receive salvation, to be delivered. Many of you know, before I knew Jesus, I was an alcoholic. I was addicted to alcohol. I mean, hardcore. I did drugs and things like that, but I was never so much, that wasn't the addiction. My addiction was alcohol before I knew Jesus, okay? So you have to know and understand that it was before Jesus, okay? And, you know, that thing, you know, would try to, you know, entice me and seduce me and things like that. But when I got saved, when I got born again, right, I was delivered from that. Praise the Lord, you know. And now I don't have to give heed to that anymore. And it would be spiritual adultery for me to go back to that lifestyle. A lot of Christians are getting saved, they're serving God, and then they revert back to their old life. That is spiritual adultery. You're committing it against your relationship against God. Oh, well, that really made everyone happy. Hallelujah. All right. The seducing spirit is going to get you to neglect your spouse, to criticize your spouse, to insult your spouse, to cheat on your spouse, whether with another physical relationship, whether with pornography, whether with inappropriate behavior. Yep. See, a seducing spirit is out to trash your covenant relationships. You know, here's the third covenant relationship that we protect and guard. Our covenant relationship with our church family. He's going to want you to skip around on God. He's going to want you to skip around on your spouse. And he's going to want you to skip around on your church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. When church members and attenders skip church, be unfaithful to their covenant relationship, it is just like a husband who took another woman against his wife. Ooh, that sounds pretty harsh. Now, I'm not saying you weren't in church because you were on vacation or something like that. I'm talking about when God set you in a local church. Maybe it's this one, maybe it's another one, okay? But where he calls you to be, right? We don't just wake up and say, well, I think I'd just rather go on a picnic today. I'd just rather go golfing today. I'd rather just sleep in and things like that. Well, we got to realize what that says to God. It's a seducing spirit trying to get you to neglect your covenant relationship. See, I'm not here in church because God has an attendance policy. I'm here in church because I'm in covenant with him. And the more you honor covenant, the more you're loyal to the covenant. I'll tell you what, if you are a loyal spouse, if you are a loyal to God's house and the house of the Lord, I tell you, just your loyalty, your commitment, your character, God's going to bless it. He's going to bless it. You know, but it's hard to water a plant that's always moving around. You know, the Bible says that this is his garden where he waters. But what if, what if you had plants at home and they had a life of their own, and every time you went to bring them the water can, where are they? They were in front of this window today. Oh, they're in front of that window. Okay, I have to bring the watering can. And you get over there, and then that plant's gone again. That's what God has. He's got a garden that's running around. He's trying to bring the watering can, but we're just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But if you stay put, he knows right where you're at, and that's where the watering can, because you're standing still, and the more you stand still, the more the water and the rain can get you. Praise the Lord. Well, people are taking up their roots, running around. You know, they look like those trees on Lord of the Rings. You know, you see those trees? They're walking around. Well, that's what they are. We're like little plants. So many Christians, like little plants. God's trying to find them with the watering can. Can't find them. They're running around. I know that's a really bad illustration. It's Reverend Tony approved. And so I'm safe now. So if you don't like it, take it up with him. He'll tell you just how good it is. Yep. Seducing spirits, they promote the idea of divorce. Oh. Have you ever been tempted in an argument with your spouse to say that word? We should just get a divorce. Seducing spirits love the term, and not just in a marriage between a man and a woman. Okay, now if you're here and you've been divorced, don't misunderstand this. Don't believe that old religious idea that because you've been through a divorce that you are on the spiritual junk heap. That is not true. That is not true. God is merciful. God's got a plan. A lot of times divorces happen. It wasn't necessarily one or the other's fault. You know, there's different circumstances. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. If you've been divorced, God's got a plan for you. It is good. All right? And you're not on the spiritual junk heap. You can be forgiven from that and move on. And God's got a great plan. It doesn't make you second rate. It doesn't make you less than anybody who hasn't been divorced. All right? Let's make that clear. But I'm making the point that God loves, or the devil loves the idea of divorce, because the word means to separate. Divorce is a similar word to divide. It means to separate. He wants us to divorce our church. He wants us to divorce our commitment to God. He wants us to, seducing spirits want us to divorce morality. He wants us to divorce faith. He wants us to divorce our spouse. Why? He's always there trying to separate relationships. That's what a seducing spirit does. See, that seducing spirit wants to make you a spiritual tramp. What does that mean? Always jumping from place to place. The root word of trampoline is tramp. It means to jump around. Okay? In the same way, that's exactly what seducing spirits want to make Christians. People that are always, they're never planted, they're never rooted, they're always offended, always moving around. Now, if you are in the process of a move, whether it's to a different church or something, make sure it's what God's telling you to do. All right? Because sometimes it is absolutely necessary. You've got to go look for a church. There's a difference between church shopping and church hopping. If you are leaving one church to the other, you'll know it's just a plan of God, because you're willing to go talk to the pastor. You'll talk to the pastor. When we were in our former church, you know, we went and talked to him because we were in covenant. That man had prayed for us. That man had worked with us. That man had dedicated his life to us. We weren't just going to disappear. And so one day he's just sitting there wondering, you know, what happened? Do you know that in 10 years of pastoring here, of people that have, you know, left the church or whatever, in 10 years only 3 have had the courage to come, in the decency to come and sit down and talk. And everyone else, I had to sit and like wonder, where did so-and-so go? What happened? I love them. I miss them. God put things in my heart for them. Where'd they go? They're in the garden running around. They're in the garden running around. God can't find them to put the spigot over their head. Praise the Lord. Yep. We got to be careful. Praise the Lord. Well, yes. All right, here's the third thing. All right. Seducing spirits try to influence people. They entice people into sexual sin. One of the most warned about sins in the Bible is sexual sin. All right? The Bible is very clear. Sexual sin is one of the main catalysts to becoming apostate. The word apostate means to be separated or to depart from serving God. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Pornography is the work of a seducing spirit. That intense urge to lust after the other sex. Now, that's obviously a natural thing, but we understand when you're married, a seducing spirit is going to try to showcase other women or other men, right? If you're a woman, he'll try to, you know, make another man look, you know, better than your husband. If you're a man, he's going to try to make another woman look better than your wife. You know, whether not just in physical looks, but in, you know, personality and attractiveness and all that stuff. A seducing spirit tries to, you know, do that. I know some of you husbands are like, oh, no, not me. Never have had those thoughts. Listen, if you are a married man and you say you have never been tempted to look at another woman and think about her instead of your wife, you are a liar. Are we on now? Yes. Praise the Lord. See, this gentleman over here is absolutely right. I started rooting for the Broncos. Thing died. No one tell the Broncos that I hope that they win, because that's like the football kiss of death. We don't wanna do that to them. But we know, you know, so many times, you know, stuff like that. When I first started pastoring, it used to really throw me for a loop. You know, but then I realized we're a church family, and if there's one thing, you know, I personally, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but when there's such a formality to things that people cannot just be real and normal, you know, I want to preach in such a way that that's how I am all the time, and that I'm not up here putting on a show. You know, if the mic dies, well, let's just make a joke about it. Let's laugh, have some fun, make fun of football teams, and then go on. Praise the Lord. But we know seducing spirits are going to try to make, you know, the grass look greener on the other side when you're married. Come on, married people, have you ever been there before? You know, have you ever had an accusational thought against your spouse? Come on. I forgot I pastor the most spiritual church on the face of this earth. Have you ever had? I know your spouse is sitting right there and you don't want to have to admit that. But if you're saying that the devil has never, you know, tried to show up and point somebody else out, oh, you'd be so much happier. You'd be happier. You know, the grass would be greener on that side of the fence. No. You know, I heard a minister, I think it was, who was it that said this? It was Brother Philip Slaughter. He said this. He said, why don't you, instead of, you know, giving into those thoughts that the grass will be greener on the other side, he said, why don't you water your own grass? Yeah. You know, why don't, instead of giving into those thoughts, why don't you put more, invest more into your marriage? Make your marriage better. Make yourself a better spouse. Amen. And so we see all these ways how seducing spirits try to influence our lives, right? They try to come in and to make us discontent and unhappy with the things that God set in our life. Listen, this relationship between pastor and congregation is very important. Jesus said this over there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. He said that the sheep, the people of God, are faint and scattered without a pastor. Right? And of course, if you're looking for a church, and you know, maybe God will lead you here. I personally hope he does, but maybe this isn't where he led you to be, and you have to find that place. So it's not something I'm just preaching about here. It's a principle in the Word of God. The relationship between you and your spouse, you know, God put it together, let no man break it apart. Right? The relationship between you and your local church. Listen, there's going to be a lot of trials and offenses that are going to come up to try to divide you from your pastor. Because what does the scripture say? That without the pastor, the sheep are scattered. Or if you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. Right? And we know it's a leadership fact in the Bible that the devil will try to separate you from your spiritual leadership. And again, this is the same whether it's family church, whether it's the Methodist church, the Baptist church, wherever they're preaching the Word of God, that leadership principle is in practice. If God called you to be there, right, you don't want to divorce or divide that relationship. Amen? So the third thing we're talking about is enticing into sexual sin, pornography. You know, lusting after the other gender. I'll tell you what, and I can talk about this because I'm not saying that women, you know, don't do this too, but men have a struggle with keeping their eyes appropriate. Men, listen. Listen to this. It is your responsibility to not be looking at the other gender. You know what I mean? And men have this a terrible temptation, and it's not okay. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:22. He said, the eye is the window to the soul. Yeah. And if the window be dark, the whole body will be filled with darkness. Yeah. And then he goes on to use the illustration, he uses the illustration of the window. The eye is the window. Okay, we know that we have windows. Windows in our homes are good. I'm glad I have some. You know, I'm sure you're glad you have some. And the windows, you know, you can see out, but they also keep things out of your house. Aren't you glad when it's raining real hard, you got windows? Because if you didn't, the storm would come in. You know, and let's say there was a hurricane force storm out there and debris flying around, and you go and you open that window and the window's wide open and the rain comes in and the debris comes in and it ruins your carpet and destroys your furniture and stuff like that. That's not going to be the storm's fault. That's going to be our fault because we left the window open. Men, when you are lusting after women, when you're checking them out, when you're using your eyes to do those things, you're leaving your window open to the storm. And darkness can get in. And it's inappropriate. You are dishonoring your covenant with your wife. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, men, that would have been a good time for you to say amen and rejoice. See, we wouldn't know the difference. We wouldn't know who's guilty or not. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Yeah. You know, and let me say this before we close. The way a seducing spirit tries to work is to try to drum up trouble. All right? You know, let's look at that real quickly. And just for the sake of time, can you bring up Mark chapter 4, start in verse 15. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. Wasn't planning on going there. It's talking about when people hear the Word of God, and like you're hearing the Word of God today, Jesus likens it to seed being planted in dirt, and our hearts are the soil, the Word is the seed. And he says, and these are the people by the wayside or the roadside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the Word that was sown in their hearts. The devil does not want you to hold on to and to keep what you've heard today. Because what you've heard And when you put it into action, and when you're aware, and you know how to identify seducing spirits and keep them out, all right, then he loses. The devil is a loser. Verse 16. He said, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Now that's a good thing, to receive the word of God with gladness. But notice they're called stony ground, and verse 17 explains it. And Jesus says, "But they have no root in themselves." See what happens when people have no root? They're not planted. They're tumbleweeds. He said, "They endure but for a time, but when affliction and persecution," that word in the Greek means trials and troubles, "arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." See how people with no roots, they get offended, right? And notice what is happening is that immediately the seducing spirit, the powers of the enemy are there to try to offend you, try to get you upset, you know, try to get you away from your help. All right? We need to be careful. We need to see, try to use those trials and troubles. See, it's very easy when you hear the word and you get excited and you think, "Praise God, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. If God be for me, who be against me?" And we get all excited that the word says that. And we interpret that to mean, "Oh, life is always going to feel easy." That's not what that means. And then you run up into a trial and you say, "Wait a minute, I thought God was for me." God is still for you in the midst of your trial. He's still with you. He didn't go anywhere. You're facing something temporary on this earth. See, but a lot of people, they say, the seducing spirit comes in and whispers in their ear and said, "If God was for you, this wouldn't have happened. If God was for you, you wouldn't have gone through this trial. If God was for you, it would have been easier." And they listen to that, and see, the seducing spirit is dispatched immediately to try to get you to look at your trial and say that God left you. God didn't leave you. God has not left you helpless. Come on now. Isn't that exactly? And so watch out for trials. I have seen people. Do you know that the majority of people, and as a pastor, I heard Reverend Joel Siegel when he was here, you know, he was ministering, and he even used that term divorce to speak about relationships in the church and so on. And he mentioned, he said, someone said to him, "You've never been divorced. What do you know what it's like?" And he said, "Well, I was a pastor. I was divorced 400 times. Yeah. Folks, I can say that, and I could say it, you know, and I'm not comparing me and Reverend Joel. I'm just saying I could say that a lot more. Do you realize over 10 years, do you realize that we have had 4,500 different people in this church in 10 years? Let me say that again. We have had 4,500 different people that have been in this church. I have been divorced thousands of times. Okay, and of course I don't take that personally. I'm using it as an illustration, you understand. I know what it feels like to have people that you care about or whatever, and all of a sudden they just up and leave. And of course some of it's understandable. Not everybody in this city is going to go to this church. I wish they would, but there's other good ones out there. Praise the Lord for it. But you know, I've seen so many of them. And it was never because me and them had a problem. Very few. I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to say it to make people look good or myself look good. I mean, I can honestly say I haven't had any major trouble with anyone that has ever attended this church. Because I'm not going to have trouble with you. I mean, I'm going to help you. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to be offended at what you say or whatever, you know? But and so I can't remember ever where someone left because I personally did something to them that made them mad. Maybe they heard my preaching and didn't like it, and that's fine. I can understand that. But, you know, and many times what it was is it was a trial somewhere else, and they got discouraged and they left their church because of something else was troubling them in their life. And I knew, right, I know when that happens, it's a matter of a seducing spirit. You know, be careful of the trials. Listen, we all go through them. But the goal of that trial is to separate you from your covenant relationships. It is exactly what the devil is trying to do in these last days. Make it tough on people so that God's people say God's word doesn't work. And I don't need my church. I don't need my spouse. I don't need my pastor. I don't need the Bible anymore. This life is just tough. I'm just going to face it on my own. No, you don't want to face this life on your own. Come on now. Did you get some help? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you've heard the urgent message of the Spirit. And you know how to identify these things. And so now you know what to do. Now when those things come against you, you say, I know exactly what that is. I'm not going that way. Come on now. You get those thoughts, you can cast them down. You can refuse to have them. You can't prevent every thought that comes into your mind, but I tell you what, you can take authority over it once it gets there. You can squash it out. Say, I'm not going to think that way. Jesus said, Matthew 6:31, take no thought saying, take no thought. He didn't say have no thought, because you're going to have thoughts come into your head that you wonder where they came from. But once they get there, you cast them down. Right? 2 Corinthians 10:4, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5. Right? It's going to be a lot of thoughts that are going to come in there. You better take captive and keep them obedient to Christ. Cast them down. Imagination, scenarios, animated thoughts against your church, against your spouse, against the word, against God, against faith, against it all. You say, I'm not going to take that thought. Listen, he's going to stir up a fence between you and somebody else in this church. Because somebody else in this church is going to say something that isn't going to always make you happy. I guarantee it. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I mean, people came to me, so-and-so did this. And listen, like I said, folks, this church is going to be drama-free zone. Amen. Don't come to this church with the idea that you're going to go find somebody and chew them out because they didn't, you know, don't you go around here yelling at people. You know, I've stuff, when that comes up, listen, if there's people going around here, you know, chewing someone out, chewing them out, you know, always, that's not what's going to happen here. That is not permitted. This is a drama-free zone. If you got, you know, contentions elsewhere, you know, whatever, work them out, forgive, be merciful. But don't come into this church and chew somebody out. You know what I mean by that? Oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? Because we've had that. And people, you know, get upset with somebody and they're having some yelling, screaming fight, you know, in this church. And so, you know, people go home crying because somebody yelled at them. No, we don't want them to have that kind of experience in the house of God. We better be bigger than that. We better be more merciful than that. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Well, if you didn't, I know that I did. But if you say you didn't, listen, it's the word. It always helps us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We glorify you.